Today's theme is about certainty and how we go about achieving it and why we need it. Bentham said, and this I agree with, that before you can get what you want, you have to have an accurate analysis of what you're living with. Now, he was only interested in the manufactured reality of class, but there is an underlying physical reality that is the ultimate authority. If we let it have the final say and not fight with it, we as a global humanity will get on the same page. I learned this in the trades. If physical reality decides our strategy, what is there to argue about? If we describe what we want in terms of modifications, ultimately transformations of the physical world, the goal itself will guide us, help us see good from bad strategy. This is not about coercion. This is about life longing to be free, expressing this longing. It is the opposite of what we see around us under the regime of class, of power. Are you not forced to work, to sell your gifts, to pay taxes, to abandon your child, to put him on hold while you watch that video so some measure of calm can unfold? Last week we said that the manual mental divide, or rather our unconscious belief in the manual mental divide, plugged into the citizen barbarian division, our belief in the necessity of the state, or rather of the necessity of its physical infrastructure, is the motive force that turns power's key coin of control. Violence is inherent in our nature, and labor is our inevitable lot. This means the force is double-edged, as we learned from Bentham. One end is in the physical world, the material constructs of the state, and the other within our internalization of discipline. Another name for this key myth is the necessity of rule, which assumes and manifests the division between mental and manual labor, the key expression for rule being of this division, the division between citizen and barbarian. Now, Bentham is certain that we must be driven. And once power got fully behind him, it made them incredibly effective. Coercion for Bentham is a given in his moral universe, and there is no other way to drive the people to happiness because of our class position or because of our alleged violence, our passion. And so, to be passionless in Bentham's world, dominated by centuries of tyrannical bloodletting by and of those who claimed the sword of rule, was a virtue, equated with the rule of reason. A few weeks ago, we joked about the discovery of Richard III, King of England, from 1483 to 1485, under a parking lot in Leicester. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot over Richard's remains. Boy, his body sure had rotted. Doesn't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? And we quoted Shakespeare then, who said, it's from Hamlet, Alexander died, Alexander was buried, Alexander returneth to dust. The dust is earth, of earth we make loam. And why of that loam, whereto he was converted, might they not stop a beer barrel? Imperious Caesar, dead and turned to clay, might stop a hole to keep the wind away. But those bones of Richard III showed humiliation injuries, a sword stab in the right buttock, after which the sword was brought down massively several times on his head. There must be no split in the unity of the master class, said Plato. It is the absence of security that mandates the state, said Bentham. Rule must be made dispassionate. Reason must rule. Otherwise, a jungle ethics presides. People will slaughter each other, trying to fill that abyss.